Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be concluding Parshas Vayakel, the seventh and last Aliyah, and the topic of Aliyah is the kopa, Omim Mizbeach, the wash basin, and finally the chatzer, the courtyard. Our Aliyah runs from Perek Lamelches, Pasuk Aleph, to Pasuk Chof, 20 Psukim in total. We hear about, again, these are all repetitions, essentially, from what we've heard before, and we hear about the great large altar out, which was made for outside of the actual structure of the Mishkan itself. We hear about how it was made of wood, and it was covered with this bronze. So we hear about its different heights. There's the 5 amos at the bottom. There's the 3 amos at the top. How it's square. We hear about the reshes, nechoshes, and the michbar. There's the surrounding ledge and the netting. And we hear about how it is created as well, and its rings and staves. Then we hear about the kiyor, which is the wash basin. We hear an interesting additional detail over here, which is that it is made of the marois hatzavois, which sounds like the mirrors of the gatherers, which is an interesting phrase. We did not hear that beforehand. Asher tzavu'u pesach mo'al mo'ed, who gathered at the entrance of the tent of meeting. We'll have to consider that in just a moment. And then we hear about the courtyard, and the courtyard, of course, is made up of these beams, which hang from them, these white curtains all the way along, creating this rectangular structure, which would house the Mishkan. So it is 100 in length, and 50 in width, and the Mishkan would be directly in the center of it. And then we hear about also the Masach Pesach HaChatzer, which is the gateway would be covered with this more special colored curtain as well. A few basic points to ponder in that this notion of the Marois HaTzavaois Asher Tzavu Pesach Oel Moed, the mirrors which gathered in the entranceway to the tent of meeting, and that's what it's made of. What does that mean exactly? So Ibn Ezra and the Sfarah say that what happened is that when this whole donation program was happening and the Mishkan was commanded, the women came forward and they donated their mirrors. Why did they donate their mirrors? And we have to remember, mirrors in those days were not made of the mirrors that we have, which is like glass and the thin line of reflective metal on the back. In those days, it was made of polished, brandished bronze, because you take bronze as a very reflective metal. You'd polish it very clearly and flatten it out straight, and you'd have a mirror. That's what mirrors were. So they came forward with their mirrors. Why did they come forward with their mirrors? So they explained that this was a movement away from materialism. What these women said is that we know that these mirrors are used to beautify us and to focus on our externality and our this worldly beauty. And they said, we've just heard about the Mishkan. We've heard about the sublime experience of communion with the divine. We want to move forward. We don't want to be tethered to our bodily awareness. We want to be more connected to our spiritual awareness. And they therefore donated in an act of self, so to speak, self-sacrifice. And they donated their mirrors. A very profound description over here. However, Rashi says that perhaps there is another reason here as well. Famously, Rashi quotes the Medrash, in which it says that when they first brought their mirrors to the base of Mikdash, Moshe Rabbeinu was a little reticent. He said, "I don't know. This is not exactly. This is sort of a, you know, this is a very private. This is the item. This is an item used really for people who are more aware of themselves. People who are focusing on their character and their body, and therefore this is not really appropriate for taking into the Mishkan as well." HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Moshe and he says, "Kabel, receive them, ki elu chavivim olai min hakol. These are more dear to me than all the other materials which are collected." Why? Says Hashem, because it was through them that the nation of Israel increased the legions of their progeny. Why? What happened is that the first level of the final solution in Egypt was hard work. And the reason for that, as is very explicit in the very first psukim of Sefer Shmos, is in order to diminish the will to have more children, to diminish the population numbers, to stem the tide of the growth. And it was successful in the sense that the men were working so hard in the fields, they simply did not have any strength to move forward. And because of what's called avodas perach, the back-breaking labor. So what would the women do? They would go out and take their husbands to the field. They would feed them, and then they would bring out their mirrors, and the woman would look at it and say, she would say, you know, I'm much prettier than you are, and they would encourage their husbands to still engage in having children, arouse their desires to bring them to the point of having children, which is fascinating because in the mind of the men, they were so broken by the labor, there was nothing to think about. They couldn't think beyond just simple survival. It was the woman who had the chokhmah, who had the hope, who had the ability to be able to think beyond, to know that in fact there is a future, and there will be a future. And therefore, the mara ois hatsava ois could also mean, as understood by this medrash, is the mirrors of those who created the tsava ois, the tsiv ois, the legions, through those ideas as well. When they made this kiyar. There's an additional idea over here which Rashi and the Ramban quote, and that is that the kiyar itself was what provided the water necessary in the case of Sota. Sota is, of course, a case of infidelity in a marriage, and there would be this process in which the woman and essentially any potential adulterer were tested through these waters. And in Rashi, the way Rashi says it over here is, Venasak Yomehem, these mirrors of these very, very fine women of integrity, was used to make the kiyar shoot losum shalom ben ish leishtai. This was the made of the kiyar, the wash basin from which the waters were taken to create peace between husband and wife in cases of concern. And that is what's happening over here, perhaps, whether it be a deterrent or whether it be a reimagining of what shalom is supposed to be. That was why they were used over here. Finally, it's interesting halachic observation that the Magen Avraham makes when he says, he quotes the idea that when a person has, let's say, a tablecloth, they can use the tablecloth to make a cover for a Sefer Torah. Why, he says, usually you can't use a ma'as, something which is a ma'as a hediot, a simply used item to make it into, you know, it seems so mundane and pedestrian, to make it into something so lofty and high, which is a cover of a Sefer Torah. He says, but because you change their tzura, their actual form, you don't think this is a tablecloth anymore, then it's allowed as well. There's a shinui tzura, a change of the form. He says, why sharei akiyor na'asomi marois hatzava ois? Because you see that the mirrors were made of the mar ois hatzava ois, of these mirrors. And therefore, even though it may be a very pedestrian, mundane activity, the fact that they were beaten into this new shape is what made it fine, and therefore that's why we can use the things like the tablecloths for Sefer Torah covers. I want to just conclude the parasha as well with one fascinating observation, that is the Rabbeinu Bachaya. Rabbeinu Bachaya's last paragraph in this, you should realize there's so few Mefarshim on this parasha actually, because it's so much of a repetition. It's fascinating to focus on the Mefarshim who spend a lot of time, including the champions or Rehai Mekdavar, the Netziv, who really spends tremendous detail about it, why everything is repeated in the very, very specific diokim. In this, the Rabbeinu Bachaya has a beautiful paragraph at the end where he says that even though we don't have the Mishkan now, but the Torah went to such levels, meaning even when the Beis Hamikdash happened then, the Mishkan wasn't quite the same, and the Mikdash certainly did not look like the Mishkan in any form. But he, in the end of the day, he says that the reason is because he quotes Chazal, who say that when it relates to Korbanos, ki kol hamis asek belimud parshias vayita'en beliboy, that if a person were to learn all the halachas of the karbanos, it would be as if they are bringing a karban, even though they do not have access to it as well. And he goes on to say, it's as if you actually brought that sacrifice. Therefore, extrapolating, he says, that when by talking about the Mikdash and the Mishkan, even though we don't have it today, it is a tremendous opportunity for us. And therefore, it's important for us to spend a lot of time trying to understand both the external ideas and the internal ideas as well. And that's what David HaMelech says when he said, surround Zion and embrace it. Sipru migdalea shisu libchem nachelai. So what he's saying is talk about it. Talk about surrounding it. Absorb it. Think about it. And Be'ezras Hashem hu yana ageinu almos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant us internality for the zchus of looking and appreciating the Mishkan. With this, we conclude the 7th Aliyah in Vayakel and Parshas Vayakel. Have a wonderful, meaningful day and a beautiful Shabbat.